I don't know if you have or not, but we've had some wonderful, wonderful teachers. I see Michelle. I don't see the others. Maybe they had reason. Donna's back there. Okay, good. Donna's here. That's good. I'm glad they could come. But I just want to say that these ladies that you've been here and teach are not some hobos off the street. Not that I have anything against hobos, but if they had a revelation from God, I'd listen. But they're all educated, professional women, and I've been blessed. I know you have, too. What wonderful time. And Pastor's right. God has sent so many good women into our body, born again, Holy Spirit, talented, yeah, women, and I just appreciate him so much. Michelle talked to us about getting a revelation of the Word of God. Remember that when she poured the water on the floor? Get him, Michelle. She's a hoot. And then Donna gave her a testimony and a teaching like I've never heard before. And as with all of them, if you didn't hear hers, you need to get that tape because that was... I'll never forget that one. That one, I don't think I've ever heard a testimony like that before. But she's a conqueror. She's a conqueror. And then Jackie talked to us about the... I'm reminding y'all because I want you to remember this is the end of this, and you need not to forget what we've been through in the last month. But Jackie talked to us about the whole armor of God, didn't she? I should have made you all tell me what everybody taught, but too late. When Jackie first started teaching that, just let me tell you this real quick. For about a half a second, I thought, been there, done that, heard that, taught that 40 years ago, bought the T-shirt and wore it out. But then, you know, I realized that that was a different generation. And forgive me for looking over my glasses, but I can't see a thing without them to read. So I'm sorry, this is what you have the young ladies, now you got the old woman, so... You're just going to have to put up with me. Anyway, Ron and I used to teach the whole armor of God in our living room. And I had a niece that was real artsy. And she made from that flimsy poster board a helmet of salvation and a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit and a breastplate of righteousness. I probably don't need this. And she had a belt of truth and she made me some shoes. And Ron dressed up in all that. And he was, while I taught, and he was a good-looking soldier now. I kept that stuff in the attic for a long time until it just deteriorated. But I got pictures of it if anybody wants to see it. He had dark hair then. It wasn't great. And then Debbie taught us about overcoming offenses. Boy, that was something we needed to hear, wasn't it? All of us need to... constantly overcome our offenses. Well, tonight I'm going to talk to you about being real. And we live in a world when so much is fake and phony. I promise you I didn't get this message from President Trump. Because he talks all the time about fake news, doesn't he? Well, we don't just have fake news. We have fakes and phonies in the church and out of the church and people that are trying to be something that they're not. And I like real people, don't you? I like unpretentious people, people that don't put on any airs or you don't have to wonder, what are they really saying to me? Those are the kind of people I like, and I think that's the kind of people you like. If I have time, I want to tell you this story real quick. You all remember Pastor Perry talking about Conquerors Month, and I can never think of a conqueror. I don't really need these for this. I can never think of a conqueror without thinking of that story that he told. Actually, yes, I do. I need to read this. I got to read this scripture first. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." You can write these down or you can look them up. I don't care. But actually, scripture says that we're more than conquerors. Jesus is the conqueror. We're more than a conqueror in him who loved us. But Pastor Perry told this story about the prize fight. Do you remember this? Anybody? Anyway, Becky's telling me to tell it. Okay, I'll be quick. Give us more, okay? He told this story about a prize fighter who came up in the ranks and he won all these fights and he was getting ready to fight his last match. It was the championship. And if he won that match, he was the grand champion. So he stepped into the ring, and the bell rung, and then his opponent came out, and they started to fight. Round after round, they fought. And he had, you know, bloody nose and smashed lips and cuts over his eyes, and he was bleeding and he was sweating, but he finally gave him the knockout punch. And the referee came over, and he was down for the count, and he held up his hand like they do, you know, and declared, "You are the winner. You are the champion. You are the conqueror." And the sponsors came out and handed him a check for $1 million. So he goes to the shower, and he cleans up, and he and his wife go home. And he takes that $1 million check, and he hands it to his wife. And Pastor Perry says, at that moment, she was more than a conqueror. She didn't do anything to earn that check. Nothing. Jesus went to the cross and conquered for you and me, and he handed us his prize, and we didn't do anything to earn it, did we? We are absolutely unworthy. So it's a good example of what being a conqueror really means. It's not really what we have overcome, but it's what he has overcome, and we are in him. We are victorious. Let me put my glasses back on. Well, I'm going to take them back off. Don't forget that the subject matter, I told some of you I brought this bag put over my head just in case I needed it. About being real. I recently had the good pleasure of going to the zoo with my youngest son, his family, my little 10-month-old grandson, who I think went to sleep. We enjoyed it much more than he did. But we saw the orangutans and the hippos, the rhinos, no hippos, the giraffes and the penguins. The penguins are my favorite. But we went into the snake thing, and I really don't like snakes or spiders or bugs or any of that. But it was interesting because I thought about this, and we went in there. You know, there's all it. When you think about God, it's like conjugating a sentence. Sometimes, you start out with snakes, and then you have these all different kinds of snakes, and they had them in there. They have cobras and black snakes and rattlesnakes, and then you kind of come on down because. There, and I didn't know this till after I'd been to the zoo. You know there are different kinds of rattlesnakes? Yeah. So I didn't know that. Who cares? I mean, I really don't like rattlesnakes, and I don't really know why God made them, but it was his idea, not mine. But anyway, when you think about how big God is and how real he is, then it's nothing we can live up to. But anyway, there's something that these flowers... Oh, shoot, already ruined it. Something that this bouquet has in common, what is it? I just told you. They're all flowers, and they're all real, but they're all different. They're all different colors and shapes and sizes. And from my perspective, I believe that when God looks down on a group of women like you, he sees a bouquet of flowers. Yeah. Some of us are, we're different colors and we're different sizes, and I got to be careful here. Some of us are tall and some of us are short, that's me, and some of us would like to be, now come on now, we're going to be ourselves, that's what this is about. But if you could see yourself as a flower, being as real as a flower, because God created all these things and then created humans, and I think, you know, we kind of follow that same pattern. So this bouquet, we are his bouquet. I think we are, don't you? And that's what I really want to get through to you tonight, that we want to be as real as these flowers. We want to be ourselves. We want to be who we are. Be the best you can be, but be you. Be real. So, everybody in this world is looking for something real, aren't they? Well, let me put these down. You can look at them for a while. If they turn over, Michelle, I'm going to spill water. They're kind of top heavy. Pauses mean that I have to skip something, I hope this won't be too macabre or negative for some of you, but I want to read you an obituary from December the 9th, 1951, I think it says. This is really small. It says, daughter, mother, die within 1 week. Within week. The family of the late George Piles of Campbellsburg community suffered a double bereavement last week in the death of Mrs. Piles and her daughter, which occurred 4 days apart. On Sunday, November the 25th at 8:30 p.m., Mrs. Hubert Adams, the former Lena Piles, passed away at her home near Campbellsburg following an illness of 3 years. Mrs. Adams was born July the 7th, 1909, the daughter of George and Alice Tilly Piles. Mrs. Adams, In 1928, she was married to Mr. Adams, who survives her with their 9 daughters. At 8:30 p.m. Thursday, November 29, Mrs. Adams' mother, Mrs. Alice Piles, long in failing health, due to the infirmities of age, was taken by death, shock of her daughter's passing, no doubt, hastening the end. Mrs. Piles was 80 years old. Mrs. Adams was 42 years old. That was my mother and my grandmother. Yes. And so, you know, most of the other ladies gave you some kind of a personal testimony, so this is mine. When I was growing up, and this is the heart of what I'm saying to you tonight, I was 4 years old, and my sisters and I were all like 2-3 years apart, so there was 9 of us, so stair steps on up. I never knew my grandparents. I never knew them on my father's side or my mother's side. So the only parent that I knew was my father, who really wasn't prepared to be a parent. He was a child himself, God bless him, but he just had some issues. So in my growing up years, I always wanted to be somebody else. I wanted to be someplace else, living somewhere else, another name, another time, another place. I just didn't want to be me. I didn't like my circumstances or who I was. I remember one memory in particular that I have is I went home in early high school with one of my friends, my best friend, really. She lived in a tri-level house, and she had other siblings. I think they're including her mother and father, there was like 7 in the family, and her room was in the basement of this tri-level house, and that's where she and I hung out when I was there. And I noticed when I was there in the basement also, her mom had a room. It had a washer and a dryer and an ironing board and an iron, and that's where her mother did the laundry and ironing for this family of 7. I remember looking in there on the corner of my eye thinking, wow, does my friend know how lucky she is? Now, I wasn't godly enough to say, does my friend know how blessed she is? So I thought, how lucky she is. Does she know how lucky she is that to have somebody to wash and iron her clothes and to make sure she has something to wear when she gets up in the morning to go to school? And, you know, I was just really impressed with that. The next morning when we got up, this mom was up fixing breakfast. If I said this person's name, you would know her, so I'm not going to tell you who it is. When we got up to have breakfast, mom was upstairs fixing breakfast. And so I went up with my friend, and this mom said to me, what would you like for breakfast? I didn't have the slightest idea what I'd like for breakfast. Nobody had ever asked me that. So I said, I'll just have what she's having. Well, that was my first experience with eggs over easy. And I still like eggs over easy. Most of the time, I'd rather have them over medium. But, you know, and I walked away from that experience thinking, wow, she gets up and fixes breakfast. Her mom fixes her breakfast every morning. this must be what a real family is supposed to be like. Now, when I practiced this, I cried like a baby. So, pray for, you know, I'm a crier. I'm sorry. I don't want to cry. I got to get through this. I don't have time to cry. So, no crying, no crying. So when I got saved, you know, I kind of forgot that I always wanted to be somebody else and, you know, those wishes and those longings. I kind of forgot that. When I got saved at 23, a few years after that, I don't exactly remember when, I had a dream one night. And in this, it wasn't a long dream, it was a short dream, but in this dream, I was in this line. Where's east and west? Doesn't matter. That's east. Okay. I was facing east, and I was in this line, and I looked behind me, and as far as I could see, there were people. The line was moving. And when I couldn't see any further back, I could see silhouettes in like a foggy, cloudy place, and I knew that there were people back there that I couldn't see. I knew that the line was unending. And when I looked ahead of me, I saw the same thing. As far as I could see, there were people, and we were moving slowly. And when I couldn't see any further, I could see silhouettes in that foggy, cloudy place just like behind me. So I knew this line was, you know, it was going on and on and on. And up in front of me, not too far away as we were moving, I saw a man that I took to be Jesus. Not in see any faces, just a silhouette of a man sitting at a desk. And he had a big quill pen, or whatever that had to do with it, I don't know. It had a big feather on it. And there was a big book on the desk, huge book with thousands of pages that he was turning. The book was as big as the desk. And people were going by, and he was checking, and I knew. I mean, I was saved. I knew he was checking to see whose name was there in my dream. And so when I got about 6 feet from the table, my heart started pounding because I wanted my name to be there. Okay, no cry. And when I got about 6 feet from that table, he looked up. No, I didn't. It was just like a half a second glance, and he looked at me. I knew I was, I knew he was looking at me, but he looked right back down, as if to say, don't look at me, look here, and he pointed to my name. So, after that experience, I wrote a poem. It's pretty cheesy, but don't you laugh. But I was so inspired with that dream. Immediately when I saw my name, I woke up. And I was so inspired by that dream that I wrote this poem. And it, like I said, it's kind of cheesy, but it's this poem is the validation that the dream was real. That's what we're talking about, real. I didn't make it up. And my point is that God does not forget your sufferings. Even if you do. Nor does he forget the longings of your heart. So, here we go. Cry, baby. There's a river that is flowing, ever flowing, through a land that no one has ever seen. And I know that I'm going, ever going, to be there with Jesus, my King. On the banks of that shore, they'll be crying no more. For the ones who've opened the door and let Jesus in to begin life again on the banks of that beautiful shore. Spread the news far and wide, a Savior has died for the world and all of its sin. For those who are wise and will open their eyes, there's a life that you can begin again. I see over there a heavenly glare from the one we call the sun, and I strain my ear for to hear as he says to my brother, well done. I'm in the line of unending time, and my robe is pure and white. I look around, but none to be found save those who endured the night. And there's the book, the famous book, with all the names therein of those who let the precious blood wash them free of sin. And hallelujah, my name is there. Very clearly do I see. Thank God, praise God, because today. I'm so glad to be me. It's over now. The roll's been called and eternity has begun. No defeat will be remembered with every victory won. Every foe vanquished, even death, by the one we call the Son. Okay, I'm okay now. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus sent out the 70. I remember, we're talking about being real. Remember my poem. Don't forget that part. What are you doing? Oh. Chapter 10 of Luke is when Jesus called the 70 and sent them out two by two to minister, to heal the sick. And he told them, don't take any extra shoes or clothes, and wherever you go, whatever house you go to, stay there and don't move around and blah, blah, blah. And, well, not blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't say it that way. But anyway, in verse 20 it says, they came back to Jesus and they said, Master, they were so overjoyed because they said, even the spirits were subject unto us and they obeyed us. And that's what they were happy about. But in verse 20, Jesus said this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, we get all happy about a lot of things, but sometimes we forget that the main focus is that our names are written in that book. And only through the blood of Jesus can we get them there or keep them there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, the point is, Psalm 139, I think it's, 14, says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You've read that scripture 100 times or maybe more. But if we are fearfully and wonderfully made, it's okay to be me. It's okay to be you. It's okay to be real. And no matter what sufferings you've been through, it's okay. Whatever your background is, your background's not like mine. Your future may not be like mine. But, you know, today I am so happy to be who I am and what I am. And I have no regrets of anything that happened. You know, when I listened to Donna give her testimony, I used to say, God, why on earth would a mother die and leave 9 kids to a father that didn't know how to be a father? You know, it made no sense to me. And I don't know, you know, I have some answers now that I think why that might have happened, but God took care of me. And I'll tell you my life scripture at the end if I have time. Okay, let's move on. John 1:47. When Jesus was picking his disciples, that's what John 1 is about, most of it, some of it. Andrew left John the Baptist and started following Jesus, and then he went and got his brother. So Jesus was kind of picking his disciples. And then Nathanael came. And in John 1:47, Jesus said this, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Guile means deceit. Yeah. And it means, I've got some synonyms written down here. It means subtle, cunning, crafty, treacherous, artful, sly, wily, underhanded, and sneaky. And Jesus is saying Nathanael wasn't any of those things. In other words, what I think Jesus was saying about Nathanael is, it just left my head. What you see is what you get with Nathanael. And I think that's the way we all ought to be. People ought to look at us and say, hey, she's the real deal. What you see is what you get. Today, in today's culture, it's really disturbing. And don't think that I'm making fun of anybody. I don't hate anybody. I can have compassion and pray for anybody that God has placed on this earth. But, you know, today we have some men that want to be women or think they do. And we have some women that want to be men or think they do. And there are some that are just kind of in between. And I heard the other day somebody on the news say that the Boy Scouts of America are now accepting transgender boys. Well, yeah, the girls want to be Boy Scouts too. Weird. Now, wait a minute. Transgender boys? What is that? That sounds like an oxymoron to me. We're teaching our young people at a very early age, or the world is, the church isn't, I hope, that if you don't like being a boy, you can be a girl. If you don't like being a girl, you can be a boy. I don't think that's quite right. And these people that are in these confusing lifestyles have to be very emotionally upset a lot of the times. Ron and I have a nurse friend that works in a hospital, and he told us a true life story. This was a little while ago, about a person that came into the hospital for something or other. I think it was mental. But the person that came in, they thought was a woman, a female. But when they undressed the person to put on a hospital gown, this person had woman parts at the top and a man's parts at the bottom. That sounds like Greek mythology to me. But what a disturbing state to be in, that we actually, grown people are doing these things, but then we're encouraging the next generation to embrace that kind of lifestyle. It's very tragic, isn't it? There's nothing real about that, folks. That is deceitful. And anybody in church, there's a lot of people that go to church, and I don't know how anybody could be fooled into thinking that that is the light, that is okay with God, or that's okay with anybody, really. But it's a sad state of affairs. When I was, when our youngest son Josh was getting ready to drive, and he got his driver's license, and he was going out by himself. You know, like most mothers, I was a little uneasy about that. And, you know, he went out a couple of times, and he was 16, maybe 17 years old, and I was uncomfortable, more so about him than I was my older son, because my older son had a lot more sense. And don't you tell him I said that. But one night, just maybe the third time he was going out, I felt led to tell him three things the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. And I said, Josh, I want you to know that when you're going out by yourself without mom and dad and you have all this freedom, there's three things I want you always to remember. And I said, the first one is, remember who you are. And I said, your name is Marshall. And anything that you do is a reflection on your father, first of all, on your grandmother, whom he dearly loved, also on me and on those that have died before you that were marshals. Remember who you are. It's not just about you. It's about everybody you know. I had a nephew that died just 2 or 3 years ago. He was in his early 50s, did drugs all of his life. And everybody around that guy was devastated. His mother, his sister, his in-laws. I was affected. I mean, it just destroys everybody's life to even live around them, try to deal with that. Anyway, the second thing was, I said, remember who you are, and the second thing is, remember what you are. He was claiming to be a Christian. He was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost under Gene Feasel's ministry at First Assembly of God. And I said, the Bible says that whoever names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. So you got to remember what you are. If you're claiming to be a Christian, there's an expectation of Christian behavior in what you do when you're out by yourself and mom and dad are not there with you. And then I said, the third thing, I want you to remember who you are, what you are, and the third thing is what you stand for. If you are a Christian and you claim to be living for God, there has to be boundaries. You have to stand for something. You have to know what you stand for, and other people have to know that too. Well, it got so every time he'd leave the house, if I was in the back room and he was going out the door, I'd yell, "Hey, remember what you are, who you are, and what you stand for." And I said it so many times, you think I could remember it. And I forget. I could name two of them. I could name the third one. And so I'd get two of them out, and he'd yell the third one back to me. And if you ask him today, he will remember it, and he will laugh because he will say to you, "Well, Mom told me this, but she could only remember two of them. I always had to tell her the third one." But he's 35 years old, and he remembers that. And I know that wasn't me. That was from the Holy Ghost. We don't need to be teaching our children that they can be something that they're not. Teach them to be themselves and not to be deceitful, but to be what you see is what you get. Be like Nathaniel. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Oh. Well, I got 10 minutes. Let's hurry. I don't like this thing. My favorite people are unpretentious people. I'm sure they are yours too. When Rex Tillerson, you know who that is, the new Secretary of State? When Rex Tillerson was confirmed and he went to the State House to speak to all of his new employees, there was a bunch of them. They were hanging over the balconies. Did y'all see that? He gave a speech and he said a lot of words. I don't know how long it was, but it was a lot of words. I only remember five things that he said. He said, at some point in that speech, he said, "Hi, I'm the new guy." I thought, wow, that guy's real. He sounded like a Kentuckian. I could relate to that. "Hi, I'm the new guy." I don't know if I can't tell you that. I'm going to have to move on here. We got 10 minutes. Let's see. We'll skip that part. It's good, but we'll skip it. Genesis chapter 3 and Luke chapter 1. I want to compare two women in the Bible who I think are exactly the opposite. They are Eve and Mary. I don't think Eve was a conqueror, but I think Mary was. Eve was a lady, in my perspective, who had it all. Maybe like some of you. I have it all as far as I'm concerned because I have all that I need. And if I want it, I'll ask God for it. But listen, Eve lived in a palace. She lived in the garden. She lived in the finest place. She had the finest food to eat. Every tree in the garden, God said, "You need of all these trees except that one." She wore the finest clothes. You say, "Wait, she didn't wear any clothes." No, wait. She wore the garments of praise. No, the garments of innocence and the robes of righteousness. So she had the finest clothes. And here's the best part. That woman had the best looking husband on the planet. He was the only husband on the planet, but she had him. And she didn't have to fight for him with any other women. So she had everything. She had it all. And yet, in Genesis chapter 3, we read the story. Hey, I'm not going to condemn her because sometimes we act just like her. But in Genesis chapter 3, we read the story of the conversation between her and the devil and what he said and what she said and then what happened. But verse 6 is what I want to tell you. It says, "Then when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. See, there was something that she thought she didn't have. She had all those things, and maybe she knew it, but she thought, boy, I'm going to get wisdom when I eat this. If I eat this, I'm going to be like God, because that's what Satan told her. Deceitful. And for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So here's what God told me about this. Eve reached out for forbidden fruit. And that is the problem that we have in the world today, as simple as I can make it. There are so many that are reaching out for forbidden fruit. And I hear, you know, we're losing the integrity of marriage. We're losing our identity as men and women. There are many that want us to go to a genderless society. No, taking all the pronouns, he and she out, and no longer male and female. How is that possible? How does one think of those things? I don't know. But I've heard ladies in my lifetime say, well, we can't get married because we lose some of our benefits. Well, okay, but you're reaching for forbidden fruit. Being righteous and deciding to be obedient to the Word of God will cost you something. It will cost you something. You can reach out for forbidden fruit. You have a free will. God's not going to stop you. But let me tell you something. If you eat a steady diet of forbidden fruit, you will die. It will make you sick, physically, mentally, emotionally. And we see that in the world today, don't we? Praise God. Well, Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel is visiting Elizabeth and Zacharias, and he's also visiting Mary. And he's telling Mary, you're going to become with child, and you're going to have a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. And, of course, Mary had her own questions, and she said, how can this be? You know the story, that seeing that I know no man. And he said, you will be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will conceive. And Mary, after she asked her questions and Gabriel answered them, here's what Mary said in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So, I got too many things in my hands. I need them. So Eve reached out for forbidden fruit, but Mary reached up for righteousness. There were a lot of things that Mary could have contested. She could have said, I don't want to go through this. Pick somebody else. She wasn't a dumb person, I'm sure. She had some thoughts that were probably rolling in her head when Gabriel's telling her this. She could have made a different choice. We can all make different choices. We can either reach out for forbidden fruit, or we can reach up for the will of God for our lives, be who we are, be thankful for it, be satisfied, because we're more than conquerors in him who loved us. Isn't that true? One more thing. I got 5 minutes. Hey. Yeah. Everybody else gave you their life scriptures, so I want to give you mine. One of them is Psalm 27:10. And I told you part of my story, so this has been a real life scripture for me. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And that's my testimony. In a nutshell, God has been my father and my mother since I was 4 years old. Laugh, don't cry. And Romans 12:21 is another one of my life scriptures, and it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I've paraphrased that one scripture for my own life, and I say this weekly to myself. According to Romans 12:21, God's goodness is greater than all the evil in this world. So if I look around and I get discouraged by all the evil that I see going on in the world and all the perversion, I mean, it's just perverted thinking, I say to myself, according to Romans 12:21, God's goodness is greater than all the evil in this world. So that's what Romans 12:21 says. God wouldn't tell us to overcome evil with good if it weren't possible. And if he had not already done it, God has already overcome the evil in this world by his goodness. So that's what he commands us to do. So I'll end with this. And hey, we'll be done early. The things that are going on in the world today, I like to keep up. I like to be current, don't you? I mean, I watch the news. I just think, you know, Noah's Day, here we come. But everybody says, and I believe it, there's a great divide in the country today. We have people on this side and people on that side. Some think it's a fight or a struggle between Democrats and Republicans. Maybe it is. Or between liberals and conservatives, and maybe that's the same thing, and maybe it is. Or maybe it's between the fake media and the real media and President Trump. Maybe that's true too. Or maybe it's just that it's between America and all, well, not all, most of the nation, other nations of the world that hate us and call us the great Satan and infidels and want to destroy us and kill us, and we know what it's about. But here's the real thing, and we're still on Romans 12:21. Here's the reality. It's those things are true, but here's the one thing that is the truth. It's the age-old fight between good and evil. And that's what it is, and that's all it is. Because I believe what I read in this book, and this book says there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, I guess it says in the last days that it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. And so I say to God sometimes, was it like this in the days of Noah? Maybe even worse? I think it was. I think it was. We're headed there. But I am not discouraged because we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. And if we don't forget that part, we can overcome all the struggles and the sufferings of our life. And actually, we can use those things to be a witness and a testimony to somebody else and to be real so that other people can come into the kingdom. Isn't that true? Place to start, though, you must be born again. Yeah. You got to know Jesus to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you got to make sure that that's where you're headed. In that dream that I had, I was headed east. And it was a big, long line. I don't be left out, do you? We can conquer anything with God's help. And we can help somebody else be a conqueror too. Well, praise God. Thank you for listening. I love you all. You're great ladies.
Is that on? I have a prayer. Okay. Your testimony touched my heart. And I feel like we need to pray. So everybody stand up. We're going to put your hand on your heart. Father, I hope I can get it out. We come to you just as we are. And we thank you for making us who we are. We accept the road that we have walked. We accept your choice for who we are. And Lord, we lay our life down before you, that you will use us, that you will fulfill the plan and the destiny and the words that you have written down for our life in your book. We say yes. We say thank you for our life. Thank you for our future. Thank you for loving us. Thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's just something on that. To thank God for who we are.
Many of us have come from different backgrounds. Lois has shared with me her growing up days, and I with her. Rita and I have shared on the phone at night. We get to talking about old times and how we were raised. And you know what? And I know you have, but we need to forgive our fathers. My father, Rita and I have talked. These men knew how to get kids here. But they didn't know what to do with them after they got here. They didn't know how to love them. They were babies. They needed to grow up. And my dad was the same. And the good news is about 2 years before he died, which he died at 58, that he came to know the Lord in a way that he never had. So I have that memory. I also have the other memories, but I try to forget those, and but I do forgive him because God forgave him, and my heart goes out to Rita and Lois, and I know many of you have a story to tell, but we just forgive our fathers in the name of Jesus, okay?
And we forgive our mothers. I never felt like I measured up to my mom. I'm totally different from her. And it's been an issue my whole life. But God made me who I am. And I accept who I am because he made me. And I love my mother. I love her. I love her. And I thank God that she gave me life. Amen. Hallelujah.
I think this is about me. I didn't know I would come and even talk about this, but as you know, I'm Heike and I'm from Germany. I was brought up a different way than you are here, and it's not easy to live in another country and feel how you are rejected unknowingly. Even people don't tell you, but you know, because you are different, you speak different, you have different ideas, or you might not just fit in. And for a long time, I always wanted to fit in, just belong and blend in. But the Lord showed me that's not how I made you. I made you for a reason. And I thought, okay. I'm now here 24 years in the U.S. I still speak differently. My accent is not going away. I was brought up, I needed to be strong, independent. You don't rely on nobody. You don't trust anybody. This was all before I did not know the Lord. Raymond and I did not know the Lord when we got married. So we found the Lord together here in the U.S. And as we became Christians, I had to learn to submit to my husband. It didn't go well. Sometimes not going well. He tells me I'm too stubborn, too strong-headed. He just don't know, not my heart. Because the Lord made me a certain way for a reason. Men are different anyway than women. We know that already. They have different ideas than what we have. But what I wanted to say is really here, we're together now as one body, but we're really all different. And it is really okay. Because Jesus loves us no matter what. He made us beautiful just as we are. And sometimes we don't know not who we are in the Lord. I'm just learning myself who I am in the Lord. I'm a child of the Most High God. I am blessed and highly favored. I put this just on my Facebook, what describes me, last night, because I said, that's who I am. And I understand I'm not everybody's favor or flavor or whatever we call it. Maybe you're not either. But we still have to walk in love. We still have to be considerate. I've been now in this congregation for over 2 years. And there are some people in here who are not that loving. I'm sorry to say that. They are short. They are distant. And that's your own thing, what you are doing. And you don't have to be like that. Because when others treat you that way, you would not go back. But the Lord showed me, you humble yourself. You humble yourself and I will bless you for that. I'm not sure why I'm telling you all this. I didn't want to or even thought I would. I was not even sure who was talking. But you know what, Louis, you are special. You are favored. You are loved. You are special. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us too.
Okay, we're going to dismiss. Can we just pray? Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to each one of us. I'm glad that you made us different so that we can all blend together and make a beautiful bouquet for you to look at. We thank you for every blessing tonight. Help us to be satisfied with how you've made us, but help us to be willing to change if you choose to change us. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Thank you for this church. Help us to be better than we are today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.